Browse through it at some point.
Okay. Do you have any questions about it or anything on your mind? These are the people to ask here.
Oh, yeah. I'm two posts with my wife, Amon. How you doing?
Hi.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Oh, have a seat if you'd like, yeah.
So I believe you said you were at a music festival like a week or two ago?
Yeah, up in Duluth.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just curious, what were you doing there?
Preaching the gospel. Warning the people of man-made religion about the sin of man-made religion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I guess what were they doing wrong at the music festival?
Well, first of all, you have to understand what the gospel is to understand that. I think, did Brother go over the gospel with you?
Yes.
Do you recall it?
Somewhat, yes.
Okay. So, Brother, why don't you go over it with him?
Okay. Well, first is faith, Jesus Christ, what he did, death, burial, and resurrection. Doing the finished work, making a way for us to get to heaven. Next is repentance. After you put your faith, your belief in Jesus, you have to repent of your sin.
What do you repent of, brother? Be, like, specific. Main things that we always talk about.
Worldliness, entertainment, like sports, your clothing, your relationships that aren't of God, and just reforming your whole life, repenting.
False religion.
From everything. Yeah, false religion is a big one. Politics is a big one. Mm-hmm. So you got to turn all that around, only face the Lord. Next is the Lord sees a willing vessel. He gives you the Holy Spirit. You're born again, and he's the one that leads you into all truth. He comforts you. He convicts you. And consequently, the fruit of that is you're going to obey. You're going to strive for obedience, holiness, like abiding by the words in Scripture. And
Amen.
Then you endure in that until the end. Jesus says, those who endure... boy, that verse just went out of my mind. But those who endure to the end will be saved.
Yeah,
so,
very good.
Yeah,
Matthew 24.
Yeah.
So that's the gospel.
Yeah.
Right? That's it's kind of like we always have to describe. People say, well, the good news is what Jesus did. Yeah, let's define it more. The good news is what Jesus did, but then there's a path to get to eternal life. There's a difference. It's kind of like, I like to tell people, ready? What's your first name?
Josh?
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Josh, I buried $1 million in this park somewhere. What if I told you that? And I said, you can have it. It's cash. Free. If you can find it. Now, that's good news. Would it be good news?
Yeah.
What do you need?
Probably a shovel.
Huh?
A shovel.
Yeah, and what else would you need? What would really help you?
A map.
Yeah, because you could spend your whole life probably digging here and maybe never find it. Let's say the park was 500 acres. You know, there's guys, I've read articles in the past where there's guys that devote their whole life and all they do is spend looking for treasures of ancient past and all, they're digging all over. So you need not only the good news, you need a path to find the good news, or in this case, how to apply the good news. So Christ is the good news, his death, burial, and resurrection. And brother mentioned repentance. So I'm going to take it to the music festival. So those places would all agree with us. They're all claiming to be Christian. The evangelical, mostly non-denominational, some Catholics mixed in. They all would agree Jesus is the Savior and the way, and many of them will say he's the only way, and he died and shed his blood. So that's pretty common among Christianity,
yeah.
Right? Now, until you get to some of the more cultish groups, like the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, they have a totally different Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But so they all believe in faith. Here's where the problem comes in. Repentance. We go and preach at those places because they haven't repented. They have a false gospel that is ineffectual to save their souls and get them into the kingdom of God because they haven't repented. And why haven't they repented? What did brother say? Well, you got to repent of like worldliness, your flesh, false religion. Let's just stop right there. These things are worldly. They're putting on carnal, fleshly music. Everybody's dancing around, which is not the New Testament model. The people there are in total harlotry, how they dress, women and men included. They're carnal in what they represent on their temples, sports teams, adornment, all kinds of things. And then, so they're worldly. They all love sports, politics, entertainment, Netflix. They haven't come out of the world. They're not applying the gospel, the good news, to their life. And so keep going. They're practicing. I think you're a Lutheran?
Yes.
Okay. They practice like the Lutheran faith, man-made traditions. Luther was a man.
Yes.
We're to follow Jesus or a man?
Jesus.
All right. So why would we name a church after a man, let alone a murderous-minded heretic man like Luther, who believed in killing Jews? And maybe brother said it to you, maybe he didn't. You know who used Martin Luther's writings to persecute and kill about 13 million Jews?
Hitler was...
Adolf
Hitler. He took some influence from it. But there was... That attitude was ubiquitous among
right.
the people.
Okay, so the... Exactly, because you know why? Why was it ubiquitous? What does that mean, by the way? What does that word mean? Do you know what that means?
Almost universal.
Very good. Why was it universal in Germany to hate the Jews?
Well, I'd say because Judaism fundamentally rejects Jesus and the gospel.
Where was Luther headquartered?
For various times, Wittenberg.
Germany.
Oh, yeah. Germany.
Germany was flush with Martin Luther's teachings. Lutheranism grew up out of Germany. The Germans knew all about Martin Luther. He taught them to hate the Jews and taught them they were like dogs and scum.
Well, that wasn't... anti-Semitism.
That's a historical fact.
It did not start with Luther.
Yeah, you can't get debated. But let's go further. So you got this heretic Luther man who believed in murdering people. I have a quote on my website about the Jews. I have one where when the peasants rose up and they were rebelling because they wanted more freedom, the peasants were being held down, more taxes were taken from them, they weren't being given enough food and everything, Hitler said, that's a conflagration of dogs. Slit their throats, shoot them behind the ear. To kill a peasant is to do God's work. That's not like a godly man quote from Jesus to you?
No.
There you go. So Martin Luther was not a godly man. He was a heretic. And so he brought into all of his pejoratives about the Jews, he brought in Christmas and Easter. Can you open your Bible and show me where any godly saint ever practiced, after the historical event, it was just a historical record, ever practiced Christmas, Easter, or Good Friday, year after year after year after year, the way the Lutherans do? You find that anywhere in your Bible?
No, it's not specifically in there.
So it's a man-made tradition handed down by who? Do you know who?
I know at some points it originated from pagan rituals.
They merged paganism with Christianity. You know who did it? The Roman Catholics. You know who loved Christmas? Martin Luther. You know who loved the Christmas tree with the lights? Martin Luther. He loved that. He passed that all on to the evangelicals. And the Christmas tree comes all the way from Jeremiah 10, where it says, don't do like the pagans. They take a tree out of the forest. They deck it with gold and silver. Now, they were literally worshiping false gods. But Christianity brought in these practices to worship a false Jesus. And Martin Luther also believed a false gospel. I'm hammering on Luther because you're a Lutheran, because I care for your soul. Martin Luther believed a false gospel. He didn't believe what we said, what the Bible says. Repent. Faith in Christ, repent, be born again, obey in holiness and obedience as fruit, and endure to the end. Martin Luther, there's all kinds of quotes. It's no secret. He said, not only should you sin. What was your first name again?
Josh.
Josh. Not only should you sin, you should sin boldly and you should sin a lot, because Jesus died and nothing can take you out of the safety of Jesus. That's what Martin Luther taught.
Yeah, I would say generally the Lutheran church obviously doesn't subscribe to everything he said. He said and wrote a lot, and he said and wrote a lot of stuff that
was heresy,
was
false doctrine. So we said we're following Jesus. Mm-hmm. Are we obeying Jesus? Are we supposed to obey Jesus as Christians?
Yes.
Do we obey Jesus's word?
Generally. Okay. Some people do.
Generally, no, should we?
Oh, should we? Yes.
Should we as Christ followers? Romans 16:17, brother, would you pull it up and read it for us?
Oh, yeah.
Romans 16:17. What does the Bible tell us to do with men that teach false doctrine like Martin Luther? Name your building after him, name yourself after him, follow after him, lift up all of his doctrines, or does it tell us to do this?
Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions. Hold on.
I beseech you, brethren. He's saying, I beseech you. That's really important. It's like an exclamation point.
Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them.
Avoid them. It doesn't say name yourself after them. It doesn't say lift them up. It doesn't say pick out the truth and leave, just forget their errors. It says avoid them. So the Lutherans are doing, and that's, I'm going back to this festival, they're not obeying God. They don't have the biblical gospel. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Hebrews 5:9 says Christ made the way of eternal life for those who obey him. Acts 5:7, God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Obedience and faith has always been hammered solid together in the Old Testament and the New. You know what Martin Luther did? Ripped them apart. And do you know this fact? Do you know what he wanted to do with the Bible? You ever learn this? Did you ever learn this? You didn't?
I'm curious what you're
You haven't
say.
Studied much, because this is all common knowledge. He wanted
James.
To throw out the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. He wanted to throw out the book of Hebrews. And he wanted to throw out the book of James. Do you know why?
Because it talks about how faith without works is dead.
It teaches totally against his heresy. That you can sin and sin and sin and sin and nothing will separate you from God. So he was ready. Deuteronomy and Revelation 22 says don't add or take away from God's word. Martin Luther was ripping out the God's word and adding false doctrine. If he didn't repent, he's burning in hell right now. I don't know where he is, but if he didn't repent at his last deathbed confession, he's burning in hell right now, because the Bible says no liars, no false teachers, no murderers, no people that hate, which would be a murderer. Jesus said you think. You just look at a Jew or someone and you hate them, you're already a murderer. So going back to why we stand against the music thing, they're Lutherans, denominational, non-denominational. They don't preach the biblical gospel. That's the root of it. Not only, and some of them preach it. Some of them would say to my brother, oh, amen. You had a guy the other day. What did he do? He said amen to repentance and all that. And what happened?
Yeah, he was like, yep, amen, we got to repent. And I'm like, well, sir, that means you have to come out. You have to stop doing this stuff. You got to switch your whole life over to Christ. And he's like, I don't know about that.
That's when it's like, like a guy saying, yeah, I'll get married to that woman right there. And yeah, that'd be great. Man, she's fine. I'll marry her. And then you go, but she's the only one you get for the rest of your life. And you go, oh, I don't know if I'm up for that.
Yeah.
I'd like to marry her, but I don't know if I'm up for that. And so everybody talks repentance, Josh, but they're not living it. So the fruit, Jesus said, you know a tree by its fruit, Matthew 7. Don't judge my words. You can test me to scripture, but judge my fruit. Look at my house, look at my life, look at my doctrine. So we look at Luther's fruit, it's rotten. We look at the Lutheran church's fruit, it's rotten. When we look at this music festival, all united to Roman Catholicism, Lutheranism, non-denoms. Here's another thing. Do you know what the NAR is? New Apostolic Reformation. Have you ever heard of them?
I'm not familiar.
There's a whole group. Like, have you heard of the Word of Faith movement?
Not quite.
Okay, like the Kenneth Copelands and all these guys are the name it and claim it guys. Well, this NAR group left them and went even more heretical. These people literally believe, like in their buildings, Jesus, Shekinah glory cloud is showing up, and they pray and they claim that people are getting gold fillings, and some of them walk around with gold dust on them going, look at God's glory is all over me. And they believe in laying on dead people's graves and sucking the power out of the grave. It's called grave sucking or grave soaking. And guess who was promoting this NAR, these NAR people? 97.3 radio station, who is the main promoter of City on a Hill Music Festival, with all the evangelicals and the Lutherans and the Catholics go to. And they're going in there, and I'm saying, you guys know this is all connected to demonic Christianity? This is Satan's totally. Martin Luther was demonic, but this is like Martin Luther times 10. This is wicked, wicked, wicked. Not that he wasn't wicked. Theology. And so that's why we stand against it. They're Christians in lip only. And Jesus tells us in Mark 7 and in Matthew 15, if you worship God with your lips, your hearts are far from me, and you keep man-made traditions, false gospels, Christmas, Easter, fleshly carnal music, your life is not aligned to holiness and the doctrines, Jesus said you worship in vain. Mm-hmm. So I would offer you in love that the Lutheran faith, no matter what it is, Wells, ECL, ELCA, my wife came out of the ELCA, she was in it her whole life, they're all worshiping God in vain. As Jesus said, you must, as my brother said, repent because you believe in me. Be born again, and the fruit you're born again is holiness and obedience, not to men's doctrines, not to the culture. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I'm pretty sure if you're honest, look around the culture. People that are churchgoers, whether it's Lutheran, non-denom, Baptist, they go to church for an hour and a half on Sunday. Oh, God, I love you. You're my everything. And they get out of the church, and they go, hope the pastor doesn't go long. Packers game's on. And they run to the Packer game. They run to hunt and fish. They run to water ski in their nakedness, which is biblically naked. Okay, it's like going around, running around in your underwear. And so hopefully you can see I answered your question a long way and helped you with the Lutheran faith, how if you're of Christ, Jesus said, if you're of me in John 15, you will remain and abide in my word. Martin Luther didn't believe that. He pretty much believed once saved, always saved. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. You're not once married, always married. Do you have a job?
Yes.
You're not once hired, always hired.
No.
You're not once alive, always alive. Think about the foolishness of this, you know? Yeah. You're not once a child, always a child. You grow up, don't you?
Yeah.
So this is a man-made doctrine, and Luther and Calvin helped prop it up, and it's really Satan at the core. Say, you got a mosquito right there, just to let you know. Yeah, I hate it when they suck blood and you get them laughing later, and a big swatch of blood on you. So that's why we're against that music place, and we go and stand outside church buildings peacefully. If we came to your church, and we stood on a public sidewalk, we don't interrupt your service, we hold gospel signs, and we wait for people to come out, and we protest. Well, how do we protest? I just preach the gospel. We don't yell and scream names at you and say, oh, you're wicked and you're nasty. We just preach the gospel. Now, when I get people to come up in my face and yell at me and tell me to leave, and I tell them, you know what, I need to rebuke you. You're just a false Christian. You don't even love the truth of God. They always call, not always, 70% of the time, they call the police on us. Peaceful. Now, you want to hear the hypocrisy of that? Ready? What's the Lutheran church and the evangelical church born out of?
Luther.
Right? Okay. He started the Protestant movement.
Mm-hmm.
Where does the word Protestant come from?
Protest, yeah.
So your very religious system is built on protesting. But when we show up to just stand peacefully and preach the gospel, they say, why are you protesting us? And they get mad because you know why? They're pride-filled. Lutherans, Baptists, non-denoms, Catholics, whatever. I'm proud to be a Catholic. Do you know what God says about pride?
He says it's sinful.
It's an abomination, like homosexuality. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 6 says it's an abomination. So does that answer your question? Why we would go? Most of the people at those music shows that are so-called Christianity, just like most of the churches in America, they're goat farms. Do you know what I mean by that?
No, I don't.
God has sheep, which are his born-again people that hear his voice and follow him and come out of the world, come out of false man-made religion and follow Jesus. Then there's goats of the world. And most of the people in the churches are goats of the world because they look like the world, act like the world, dress like the world, entertain like the world. About the only thing they don't do like the world, probably, most of them, don't get slammed drunk like I used to do before I was a Christian. They don't fornicate all over the place like I used to do as a way a long time ago. I used to do all kinds of nasty things. They don't, they wouldn't murder anybody, physically murder anybody. They murder us all the time when we show up to protest. Hate you. But they don't do all those what they think are big sins, but they're just like the world in every other way. Pride, vanity, idleness, waste of time, sports, politics, Netflix, unbiblical music. And so you're probably sitting there thinking, well, what's wrong with all those things you're naming? A quick question is, like, we're now what, in Wisconsin? Are we in Wisconsin now? Yeah, we were just in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I'm in Minnesota preaching about Packer Nation. My wife goes, you probably should mention the Vikings. I'm like, oh, I forgot I'm in Minnesota.
Oh, they'll get you more.
The Packers.
They'll listen to you more if you bash on the Packers.
The Packers, right? How does this glorify the kingdom of God? How does this advance the kingdom of God? How is this in any way of Jesus Christ? Either watching it, playing it, wasting your time on it. Philippians 4:8 says, focus on what's good, pure, true, worthy, noble, lovely. Apply that to anything you do in your life and say, is this of the Father? Ready? Here's one. I love this one. I'm going to ask my brother a question. Let's see if he's on his game here.